People love him already.
He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
On a break.
And we are back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, Season 3, Episode 29, Episode 97 overall. So still on that road to 100. But today joining me, two twin brothers, URI alums in the sports media field, both killing it in their respective fields, Ania Khan and Aniabe Okan. Ania Khan is a sports anchor and reporter for CBS 19 News in Charlottesville, Virginia. Aniabe, on the other hand, is an assistant director of graphic design for West Virginia Athletics at West Virginia University. So I just want to say again, guys, we talked a little bit before the pod, but thank you guys for taking the time and hopping on the show.
Cam, I shut up,
happy
man.
To be here.
It's always a good time being here.
We're going to work our way through this three-man podcast. This is pretty dope over Zoom. But I don't think I've ever asked you guys at all. Are you guys identical twins? Like identical?
No.
No, it's funny. We get that question all the time. But no, we're actually – people think we're identical, but we're actually like fraternal. And for me, like growing, like early on, like when we were younger, I'm like, okay, like we kind of look alike. But now I'm like looking in the mirror, like looking at each other, it's like we don't look anything alike. So like I'm confused why people can mistake that we're identical, but no, we're fraternal.
I have
and
so
also
many,
like,
yeah.
And also like kind of what we had to do was like, oh yeah, like to be able to like, for people to see the differences, like, oh yeah, stand next to your brother, and that's when people would be able to see, okay, you guys aren't identical.
No, right. And I have so many friends that are like twins. I have, like, including you guys, probably like four groups of friends that are twins, and none of them are identical. But they, for me, when I first met them, and even like the first few years of me being friends with them, it's like, you guys sound and look exactly the same. So it's like I gotta figure this out as the years go by. But as a whole, I'll ask Ania Khan, is this your first podcast, like, together as brothers, like, ever being featured on something? I know I had you on before, but in the same Zoom chat, the same podcast, is this the first time for the both of you guys, like, at the same time?
No, this definitely is. This feels like a weekly family FaceTime call where we're just catching up, updating each other about how our weeks, what we got going on. But, yeah, no, I'm surprised that, you know, we haven't had any earlier, but, like, I'm excited. I think our journeys, our paths are similar, but also unique in a different way. And it's, you know, kind of crazy how, you know, things work, life works and stuff like that. But yeah, this would be the first time for us.
Yeah. And we had Ania Khan on episode 52. So just about that halfway point to 100, we had Ania Khan on in person. He was still in Rhode Island. Now it's crazy to see like almost, or actually three away exactly from 100, as we mentioned. Got the old Khan brothers in the building. I wanted to know firsthand growing up, how did the two of you, I'll ask you Ania a bit first, how did the two of you guys interact as far as sports? Like, was it always like a competition? Like, who was the better twin, or what was that like growing up in Rhode Island?
Oh, yeah, that competition was always there. Even from our days when we first started playing basketball with St. Thomas and CYO, there was just always the comparisons. And even like up until, even in high school, I feel like the one area where my brother did have a leg up on me was he got brought up to varsity sophomore year, and I kind of had to play both JV and varsity. But I kind of understood the reasons behind it. But, no, like, the comparisons between us and, like, the competitiveness has always been there. Even when I had the chance to see him this past weekend for our birthday, I was just like, oh yeah, like if we were to hoop right now, I'd be able to crush you right now. And he was like, oh yeah, like I haven't hooped in a while. And I was just like, oh yeah, that's not my problem. Like, I'm gonna beat you.
What about your perspective?
Don't out yourself there. You said I had to play both JV and varsity while I was playing varsity. So I'm gonna let the viewers kind of take it there of who was the better twin. But yeah, no, everything was competitive. A lot of one-on-ones, a lot of fights in the driveway. I will admit I won a lot. Post move game was always on point. But yeah, no, just literally, I think just the nature of like, regardless of us just being twins, like we were competitive at everything. So I wanted to be better at him. I will admit, like towards high school, he was definitely a shooter. I wasn't much of a shooter. I never really was. I was more of like a bully ball player, technical in the post. He developed a jump shot, and yeah, he had that one thing over me, but I was still a better player.
That
I'm
thing is
surprised we
still
haven't hooped
Chris.
yet.
I'm just gonna let you know about that. Oh yeah, I literally remember you was just like, oh yeah, like just let me know whenever at Johnston Rec, and just no, just weren't able to make it happen.
Yeah, we will, once everything, I mean, I don't know when the next time you guys will be down here will be, but I'll definitely be in contact and I'll always be in touch for sure, like as we always are. But for Ania, we'll go back to Ania a bit. I got the chance to talk to Ania Khan again, like we talked about on our previous episode. Like I said, episode 52. And I didn't really realize, like, I mean, I realized like the path that Ania Khan took going through it and everything like that, but we never really talked like one on one on what your path was like at URI. So freshman coming in, like for both of you guys, I guess, but we'll start with Ania a bit. Like the decision to go to URI, was that kind of like a joint decision, or was it more so, you both had interests in like certain things at URI?
So for me, like going into like senior year of high school, my whole thought process was I wanted to go to school out of state because I kind of saw it as like the perfect opportunity for me to leave Rhode Island and kind of like establish and build a life outside of Rhode Island. But like once you if you're a college not a college, a high school senior, like you'll slowly get yourself in the realization that financial aid isn't always feasible for you, and like you might not always get what you want financially. So I realized that instantly, and I was just like, okay, like this is perfectly fine. I'll go to URI, and I'll definitely have opportunities later down the line to be able to go outside of Rhode Island and experience life outside of that. And then pretty much going into freshman year, I went in as a marketing major thinking that I was gonna work on the marketing side. I wasn't sure if I exactly was gonna land myself into sports, but kind of like both of us, like freshman year, we were kind of just discovering ourselves, and I kind of saw that he took the leap in terms of taking like going into the sports media realm. And my whole thought process was, I'm not an athlete anymore, but I can still find myself being involved in the sporting environment in a different way. And uniquely, I always had like the curiosity of doing stuff on the creation side, primarily with like video stuff. But I got myself into graphic design and what I took Art 204. I think it was just an elective class for PR, and got my hands on Photoshop and pretty much never looked back ever since that moment.
And same thing for you, Nia Khan, like that freshman your experience. Talk a little bit about it when I first interviewed you in the beginning, but was it sort of similar in that sense?
Yeah, no, I would say I knew I wanted to work in sports, but I wasn't sure what capacity I wanted to work in. Particular coming into college, I was involved with my high school newspaper. I was writing sports articles. Nothing too crazy. I'm sure. Okay, I'm curious to see like if those are still up because I want to just see how much I've grown since then. But yeah, so I knew I wanted to work in sports in some capacity, but I wasn't didn't know what. Took business classes. The math was too much for me. Got into a little journalism, and then I got involved with the Cigar. And then pretty much, I remember the editor in chief at the time was like, "Hey, you should join the newscast." And had no experience with cameras. Had no experience with like editing, putting stuff together. Did not know what a package was. Did not know what Adobe Premiere was, I think for me early on, just the curiosity and like just the fact of how cool and the access and just like being able to see certain stuff that just like the average fan doesn't get to see. That kind of kept me going. And then just my own curiosity, learning on YouTube, talking to people, getting to know their creative process, what they do for different things. And then just eventually I just fell in love with it.
Yeah, Nia Bit, did you ever like see like what Anya Khan was doing and say like, oh, maybe I should try stuff on camera and like vice versa? Or was it kind of like once you figured out your knack and like what you want to do, it was like, I'm taking that in stride and that's it.
No, yeah, I pretty much besides like sports broadcasting classes that we took in college, I pretty much knew that like working in graphic design was something that I wanted to do. And it was kind of one of those, I'd say the moment that made me realize that like this was something that I wanted to take and build on and have as a career was, I would say it's either my sophomore or junior year of college. And at the time I was working with the University of Rhode Island football team, and just seeing a collection of work that I was producing and like the impact it was having on people and like how I was just like building the story of a team. And for me, outside of like winning and losing, I feel like that's the most impactful and powerful thing about the sports world. Just like the stories you're able to collect about people, like the narratives that end up building, and just how it's able to connect a fan base and a community. And I've kind of just latched onto that ever since I started this journey. And it's motivated me even to just continue creating and just finding new ways to find inspiration.
Yeah, Neocon, same thing. Was it more so, again, like you said, you fell in love right off the jump with the newscast and writing. Did you ever see what Anibe was doing and like, oh, maybe I should try this, or it was just, I'm taking my thing in stride?
For me, what he does is like so technical,
It
and it's
is.
like so impressive that he is able to do what he's done. And I'm going to give him his flowers real quick. He learned a lot of what he's doing and what he's learned through YouTube. So for me, like being able to like see what he does, I get a sense of satisfaction knowing that he's kind of like that's his thing. And like for me, like I don't know. I never was like curious. Like I had my own thing. I was in love with, reporting, being on air. But yeah, no, I kind of, yeah, no, there was just kind of for me, what he does is like so technical. And like I've tried Photoshop here and there, but it's just like I don't think I have the patience for it. So like it's good for him that one twin is able to do it.
No, for sure. A lot of his work reminds me of Josh Pybus, who we've worked very closely with. Josh does a lot more
That's
like video stuff.
the
Yeah.
goat right there.
Dude,
That's
he's
the guy
killing
right there.
it. For sure. And like that work, it's like I see the work he puts in, and I'm sure it's similar to yours, Anya Bet. And it like the steps that it takes to put stuff out. And I'm sure you do like similar steps. We'll get into like what you do now with West Virginia, but like the scheduling part of it, like what is How's it gonna, who's it gonna reach? Like, what audience we're reaching? It's like not even just like making the graphic itself. There's all this stuff that goes into it. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I never thought, for me at least, like, I love doing this, like being on a camera and being able to host something or be the face of something or be the voice of something. I love that. Whereas Josh and you, on the other hand, are more so like the creative, like geniuses behind all of that, which is like amazing and kind of hard to wrap your brain around, like how meticulous everything is. So, I'll give you guys both your flowers on that. That's pretty inspiring too, to see like how far you've come since that point. But for the two of you as a whole, freshman year, again, we'll go back to you, Nia Khan. Talk about what it was like living together at the time, freshman year. Of course, you guys lived together at home. But again, the two of you still trying to figure stuff out as far as what you want to do. And we talked about how you took sports media in stride in both respective fields. But did you ever think of tackling like the same kind of profession when you guys first jumped on the scene?
No, not necessarily. I think, everyone who wants to get in sports either wants to be like an athlete, a coach, or like a general manager. And for me at first, that's what I wanted to do. But once I realized, like, and maybe I talked about it a little bit there about like telling stories and like the way those stories can kind of captivate fans and a fan base and doing all of that. And I think for me, once I kind of got into that with the cigar and doing different stuff like I fell in love with it, and just like the power that, like, simply, everyone has their own story, and I think, just the power that, whether it's words or the way you edit something, or just like speaking in front of the camera, just the power that has in telling a story, for me was like, this is awesome. Like, it's just so cool. Like, for me, I love talking to people. And I think that's what makes my job so much fun. And I think early on, those early years of freshman year, once I figured out that was something I love to do, I was like, yeah, this is it. There's no going back.
Yeah, but it's the same kind of question. Like, was there, I guess I'll ask the two of you like this different one, but were there any struggles when you first started? Of course, like the growing pains and things like that, getting adjusted to college. But once you found a rhythm in what you wanted to do, what were the types of struggles that you kind of faced?
I would say the struggles are kind of just linked to like getting your work off the ground, kind of just getting people to notice what you were doing. And in anything, that's going to be the struggle. And usually that's where people like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Like, I want to, like, I don't really see any traction with this. And that's kind of a moment where you have to realize, like, okay, I'm not seeing the fruits of what I'm producing right now. But if I keep going and I keep working at it, I can eventually be able to see the work that I've put in. Because even now, like, I've been a graphic designer for over 4 years now. And looking back at the work that I first produced, I mean, I'm pretty sure Neocon can pretty much tell you the same thing, like, with the work that I produced. Like, I'm pretty much just like disgusted with some of the stuff that I produced it. But that's the whole part of the process of like learning and growing. And like, there's even stuff I produced a year ago that I'm just like, I'm not really impressed with. And if you're not approaching your craft with kind of that mindset, or you don't have that, like, you're not like, that doesn't really show you how much you've grown and like how much your craft has evolved over time.
Yeah, 100%. Like that's kind of the same thing. Like when I was talking to you guys about before, with the first episode I did with Joe, and seeing how much of a difference it's been from episode one to episode 97. Like the way that I'm in front of the camera and I'm able to like speak how I normally do in person and not kind of like robotic and like scripted. You know what I mean? Like it's more so leading the conversation instead of just like reading off the paper. And Stone Freeman is somebody that helped me a lot with that at URI in specific, but. I know we talked a lot about
Even
neocons. Oh, my bad.
no, sorry to cut you off, but
No.
even like kind of just to add to what I was saying before, even in those like struggle moments, I think that's where you kind of have to lean on the why am I doing this? And you have to make sure that reason is an actual good reason. It's not linked to anybody externally, it has to be linked to something internally. And that kind of goes back to what I said earlier about like being able to tell stories and being able to connect with people, connect with athletes. And early on, people aren't going to be able to see that, but eventually they will. And even now, like, well, my work is getting broadcasted to a lot of people that are West Virginia fans and just people on the internet and social media in general. And whenever I post my work, I always get surprised by the amount of attention and attraction that it gets from other people, because we all look at ourselves like internally as like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. And it's very hard with that mindset where you kind of just step outside of yourselves and view like what you're doing from an external lens.
Yeah, 100%. And like looking at kind of just thing we were talking about, like how much you've grown, right? I feel like that kind of strides you in the right direction, and like seeing like how everything started to like where it's at now, it's you can kind of reflect and not be so hard. 'Cause I'm really, for me, myself, I'm very hard on myself and like looking at like how everything's done and what I've done. And it's like, yeah, I've done this, but like now what? Like what's next? And that all goes back again to like the mentality like you were talking about. But when we look back at both of your guys' URI careers as a whole, we talked a lot about Neocon's internships in the last episode, about working with ABC6, working with WPRI, and then having that part-time job with WPRI, which kind of sparked like the job search and what you knew, like what you wanted to go for. I guess talk a little bit more about like the connections you made in NeoCon, and then we'll go to Anya Bay and like the same kind of thing. Cause I know it's two different fields and it's much different on like connections and who you meet and how you meet them. Because for me in NeoCon, it's like we're at these games, like, more so in front of the camera again on the field, just different types of aspects. So NeoCon, we'll start with you. Like I said, just talk about the jobs leading up to the job search. What connections that you made helped you in progressing that as well?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think I tell people this all the time. WPRI and the 9, 10, 11 months, it might have been 11 months, they're close to a year, but that time was the reason why I have the job right now. So, Maury, JP, Taylor, Sam, Derwin, I'm sure I don't want to make sure I'm not missing anyone, but pretty much everyone there who I was working with directly put me through the ringer. With the goal of preparing me, whether it was somewhere else, whether it was there, preparing me for my first job and making sure that I was going to be, I wasn't gonna have any hiccups. I wasn't gonna go through something that, like, when I go through my first job, it's like, oh yeah, I've gone through that all before. And for me, like, just being able to like learn from them, pick their brains, see the day-to-day stuff, why they do certain things, that helped me so much now. Because like when I got here in August, like I had gotten here like the week that high school football started. And as high school football, nights, Friday nights, some of the craziest nights of the week, but they're also super fun. And at Channel 12, I was running around Little Rhodey in the span of like 2 hours a night, going to three different high school football games. And coming down here, obviously smaller, a lot different. I had some on a Friday night, I'd go to three, four games a night. Here, sometimes I go to one or two. So I had, when I got here, I was like, it's not too bad. Like, I had already gone through like as bad as it can get. And I feel like, getting that experience, going through that, going through people that I had watched growing up and seeing them, interacting them with them every day, picking their brain, helped me so much. And I feel like I'd like to think at least I'm at a better spot kind of 8 months in than I would have without that experience.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, for me, just looking at it, like it inspires me as I'm heading into that same kind of position you were a year ago, graduating in May. So, we'll definitely get into like the hiring process and how long that
For
took. But,
sure. Yeah.
for me, a
It's
bit, yeah,
not fun to preface that, but yeah, we'll get into that
yeah.
later.
I know. Yeah, it's tough just
Obviously.
saying the words, but it will
Right.
stuff you got to bring up and stuff you got to face sometimes, which is tough, but gets you to prevail. And then when you look back at it, it's like, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I pushed through to get to that point. But
Right.
I need a bit for that for you, like kind of the same thing. I never got to talk to you about the connections and how you made those connections at URI. So just talk about the people that kind of guided you in the right direction and again ultimately got you like helped you get that job with West Virginia.
So I would say like a lot of things definitely helped me to get up to the point that I'm at right now. I know like the opportunity with Rhode Island football definitely gave me the platform to produce my work, and I was obviously in a position where, I have this opportunity and like I can produce and learn like without really like just understand like the important things. A part of like being what makes a great graphic designer. And then to my Queensboro opportunity, I felt like that was a really great opportunity for me because it gave me the opportunity to work with a club that was trying to get itself off the ground. And I feel like for me, like throughout the stages of like a lot of the internships I had, a lot of them had their different challenges. And Queensboro, it was building something up from scratch. Rhode Island, it was kind of just, for me, I kind of always felt like just continuing like a great graphics tradition that they had previously with Colin Fox, who now works with Rutgers football, and Anthony Garo, who now works with with BC football. So when I was kind of learning and coming up, I was trying to come up and build up, not only build up, but like continue what they already established with the brand and kind of just continue that. And then I felt like in terms of like the connections I was able to establish, a lot of them came through social media, honestly, and just through posting my work, sharing my work. And that's something that's very, very key if you're gonna work in this space. Share your work. Share your work, because you never know who's paying attention to what you're doing, and you never know what opportunities you can land from just doing that simple thing. And I feel like those two things kind of led me up to this opportunity where now I'm here at West Virginia.
That's so dang true about sharing your work. Like, as like, it's so like you're putting yourself out there by like constantly showing your stuff, but in the long term, it does you so good. Like, doing it, people know who you are, they've recognized your stuff. Even for me, like early on, I remember, and it's kind of how I got off the ground when I got my internship at ABC6. Like, a lot of the stuff I was doing wasn't great, but it was, it sufficed enough that it caught the eye of Nick Coy and Ian Steele and all of that. And they were like, let's give this guy a shot. And that's kind of where I got my first kind of TV and experience, and I loved it. And yeah, and just in terms of networking, just keep doing that. Casting your net, connecting with people that are in your circle, asking for opportunities. I think that has, doing all of that has helped us both in our own ways.
Yeah, and I feel like
And
some.
even,
Yeah, go
oh,
ahead.
sorry, Cam.
Are you good?
And even for
It's
me,
getting tough. This is tough
something
to
I
do, but you got it.
no. Oh, this is perfectly fine. But even for me, I felt like I was always in a position where I would DM people that like I kind of aspired to be in the design space and just like ask them genuine questions about like their like kind of their design journey, and then like kind of stuff like technical stuff about like designs as well. And even I like I'm even still in a graphic design group chat with a few with several people on Twitter. And it's kind of, for me, it's a great way to not only share my work but also get critiques from people who are also doing the same thing as me. So I'm getting the double benefit of connecting with people, but also having people critique my work and help me get better in the process.
Yeah, and I feel like for me, like that's why like the outlet of the podcast helps so much, is because I can shoot somebody a DM and then be like, hey, like I have this podcast, I'd love to extend the conversation and get to know you more and the whole journey that you had to go through to get to where you're at. Because then once they, because people love to talk about themselves, so it's like, you know what I mean?
That's
So
so true.
once they have an outlet like that, but. For me, like I genuinely want to know about the person, but like that's just like a plus. So like anybody that comes on, it's like it's an honor for me because I get to learn something that I didn't know, and I get to learn like about a person and genuinely get have a connection with that person. So like if I have something down the line that I need help with, they can vouch for me. They know that I'm like a reliable person in the field and as a person as a whole. So to that point, like what you were talking about, Nick and Ian, when I was producing and editing the documentary, like I was reaching out to like the local papers and whatnot to get this off the ground and really promote it, and not just in the town of Johnston, but like in the whole state. And Ian really made that come to life with the news when he came down and did like a whole piece on it. And I'm like, I barely even asked him to come. I was just like, I would love, whatever you can do. Like, you don't have to do anything crazy. He comes down, interviews me and Justin Mazzulla, and made it a whole thing, and really put me in a better position that day and going forward. So those connections just alone, like in Rhode Island, help. And those guys, we try to be those people, because learning so much as we've learned, we want to give back in that same aspect one day. So I think it's so cool, again, to have something like this where you can look back at and be like, wow, I was at that point at this time, but now I'm here and doing this.
And it helps, like, even when you're like in a funk. I know for me, like, I'm away from home. Like, I have no connection to Charlottesville, to be completely honest. Like, when I moved down here, I didn't know anyone. So I think for me, whenever I was in a funk or like not confident in myself, I still have my hard drive from college. Just connect that, throw that on, watch some of the stuff that I did in college, and I'm like, you know, I've come a long way. So, yeah, just having that archive and having that record of like how far you've come, because like you mentioned it earlier, like, you know, just the nature of the sports media, there's always something going on. You go football season, crossover season, and it's like you're right into basketball season ends, and then you're going right into baseball and all that stuff. And it's like sometimes there's no time to like decompress and like breathe, and like it's great, but like it's also like you don't realize sometimes, because you're always on the go, you're always doing something, that like you don't realize how far you've come. And I think, you know, doing something like that, even as simple as like watching stuff that I did even a year ago, like some of the stuff I did, and I thought it was great, but you know, now that I look at it now, I'm like, it's all right.
What,
like,
years ahead of me now?
Isn't good. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, you know, just having those little things helps a long way.
No, yeah, most definitely. And we talked again about it, how the hiring process for the both of you was kind of separated a little bit. Aniakon, you mentioned in August you went down to Virginia, and then Aniabed said it was more so in the fall. But again, you guys are the first time really moving away from home, going far away from Rhode Island. We'll start with you, Aniabed. I want to know like your family's reaction. So when Aniakon gets his job first, and then again eventually down the road, you get yours only a few short months after that. But talk about your family's reaction, knowing that you guys landed your first jobs in your dream pursuit of a field.
Can I actually cut in real quick?
Be my guest.
No, because I want to cut in because like I kind of want to do this chronologically. So
yeah.
For me, I was the first one. Technically, I was the first one in my family to like move out. So for me, like I was nervous about that, but I knew that I needed to do it in order to pursue the opportunity that I wanted to. So I was nervous about that. I was nervous about telling my parents. I was nervous about being away from home, all the normal things that you're nervous about when, you know, the thought process comes about, like, oh, that you might go away from the place that you've always known as home. But for me, the whole process kind of started, I started applying places in like late March, like just wherever. I knew I wanted to kind of, I had three simple things. It's kind of like what, in terms of like places I wanted to go. I know I wanted to go to a college town. That was Division I athletics. And I wanted to go down south because I wanted to go away from snow for the time being. So I kind of narrowed my search down there, casted my net kind of pretty much everywhere. And then you kind of get through the process where it's like, I got to like 2 months in, I'm like, geez, like I haven't even gotten an interview or like stuff like that. So you kind of cast your net a little bit, you kind of concede a little bit. All right, I'll do this if it means getting an opportunity. And then graduation, still nothing. And I'm like, dang, like I'm never going to find a job. And like something, you know, like a lot of our friends were like, oh, I'm going off to do this. And you're like, it sucks. Cause it's like, you're graduating. It's a big day. And like, you just don't know what is next. Yeah. And thank God I was still working at Channel 12. So I had kind of that to lean onto, but I knew I wanted to be on air. So I was like, all right, I got to keep plugging away. So this opportunity, CBS 19, came up. I didn't even apply. I kind of just like looked down like the DMA list of like different stations and stuff like that, and like went through each market and like what the stations were, and went through their websites, and where I was like, all right, this person got here then. Their contract is probably, if they have a 2-year contract, they're going to be up here. All right, they might be done soon. They might be looking for someone. So that's pretty much what I did. I remember I reached out to my boss now. Might have been the beginning of June, like right after 4th of July. And I was like, all right, like, let's see what happens. And then a few weeks later, he actually gets back to me and is like, hey, like, you know, saw your email, like your stuff. We are looking for someone. How would you like to hop on a call? And literally, it might have been like a couple of days later, hopped on a call. We talked for like half an hour about kind of, you know, what I'm looking for, kind of what the market is, what Charlottesville like, what some of the things they cover, what the newsroom is like. And I was like, all I knew about Charlottesville to that point was Tony Bennett and the UVA basketball team. And I had known a little bit, you know, Bruce Arena was a coach there before that. But I didn't know anything else besides like tiny like bits of things. But I knew it was like a great market, a lot of great teams to cover. So I was like, and then we had that conversation. I thought it was really great, and it was crazy. I remember talking to him. I was like, him when I referred to him in EBA. I remember telling him, I was like, if I think I'm really nervous because it went really well, and like I think I'm going to take this if it all ends up being true, if it all ends up going well. And I remember that between the first interview and when I was offered the job was like the longest week of my life. I swear, I'm like, if I don't get this, like I don't know what I'm gonna do. Because like at that point, I had like two other interviews to that point. I actually turned down a job before that, and I was like, dang, I don't know what I'm gonna do if this doesn't work out. So it's like we're approaching August, like, you know, fall is coming up, all of that. Like, I don't know how many opportunities are going to come up. And thank God I got the job. They were like, all right, can you start? We got high school football. This is like August 1st. I was offered the job. And they were like, all right, can you be down here in 2.5 weeks? And I'm like, at that point, I'd been sitting around at home. It's crazy to you. It's crazy now that I think about it. It's like I was sitting around at home, eager to start somewhere. 2.5, I was like, yeah, I could be there next week. I took the two full 2.5 weeks, but yeah, so moved down, got the job, moved down. First week was high school football, and that was, and I was still like learning the job, like training. Thank God, love my boss, she's amazing. Was very patient with me those first few months, but yeah, no, yeah, it was high school football, and the week after that was college football, and then the third week was the home opener for football, and it was just a crazy hectic week. But you know, a lot of times in this industry and what you do, you got no option but to sink or swim. And like I was like so motivated, just the fact that like I had gotten a job and I wanted to do well. I wanted to prove myself. I wanted to prove the fact that, you know, I was going away from home for a reason. And for me, it was just like as stressful as that first month was, it was just like so motivating. Even now, like I'm like, yeah, like this is great. Gotta keep at it. But back to the hiring process. Overall, it was 4 months for me from when I first applied to when I got the job. And but I wouldn't have wanted it any way, other way, honestly. Like I feel like, you know, it was a long process, but like I ended up where I needed to be. And I love going to work every day. I have the best coworkers. They're absolutely amazing. And it's just, yeah, it's just like it's crazy. Like it's a long wait, but like it was totally worth it at the end of the day.
Damn, so you applied more so in like April. It was like a 4 month
Yeah, so
process.
it was pretty much a 4 month process, and pretty much going in, people were like, yeah, like it's gonna be like buckle up, like it might take a while. And at the time, it's no secret now, economy is not great, job market not any better. So I was kind of like, okay, like you know, this might take a while, but just like I'm some like so competitive is the fact that like I'm gonna be the exception. Like it's not gonna happen to me. And then like you're sitting there in the summer, you're like, damn, like it is happening to me. And it's just, I remember I had this spreadsheet like of like everywhere I applied, and like at one point it was just like filled with red because I had either gotten ghosted or they said they filled the position. And I still look at it to this day. Like it motivates me. It's just the fact that, like, you know, athletes motivate themselves. We hear athletes all the time talk about like, oh, I was a 10th overall pick. Nine teams passed on me. Like, for me, I feel the same way with just the job market and stuff like that. All these stations passed up on me, and I ended up in a good place, and I'm just looking forward to making the best of it.
Yeah, same thing for you, Anibet. Like, just run me through that process. Like, kind of like, probably not the same because that whole journey and that hiring process is always different for everybody. But just run me through what the end of senior year brought you.
So for me, the job process, kind of looking for jobs, started in February. I started my first application back in February. Kind of what I did, kind of similar to what my brother did, was like I did like a running spreadsheet of like all the jobs that I applied to, and like by the end of it, I think I got up to like 65 jobs. So that kind of just gives you a scope of how many jobs that I ended up applying to. And I did one job in February, and then I really started picking it up in after spring break, so middle of March heading into April. And my first interview was with Vanner Sports. It was a creative content coordinator position. And I had an interview. I remember telling my brother about it back at the time. He's like, "Oh wow, like you're already getting something." And I was like, yeah. Had an interview. It was about like a 30 to 45 minute phone call. I felt like things went well. But the whole thing with like the job process, and I kind of would learn this over time, was, some things would happen like simply out of your control. And like with this particular situation, the person that interviewed me, she was on her way out, and the company was looking to fill her position before looking at filling the position that I was going to take. So, I kept emailing them, contacting them, trying to see like, hey, what's going on with this? But yet again, I was still applying to other places. And by the time, I'd say about like middle, end of April, I kind of just rested with the reassurance of I'm not going to get a job before graduation, because that's like the whole big thing that people end up striving for. And I was okay with that, but I still wanted to get something as soon as possible. And then, fast forward summertime, I had a few other interviews. I thought it went well, but like certain situations where, you don't really hear back from people, something I did with some other jobs, like I tried to like figure out like, hey, like I appreciate the opportunity like that I got to speak with you. Like I'd like to know like what I can possibly do to kind of just like what was the reason behind me not getting the job. And most of the t times when I did get answers, because there wasn't a lot, most of the time it was, yeah, they just wanted somebody with more experience. And to me, that frustrated me. And I'm pretty sure Neocon can kind of just lay into my thoughts about that as well. But like, in the summer, it was just very frustrating, just constantly hearing no's, and then combining that with people always telling you like, oh yeah, like what's next? What's next? And like, I always felt the pressure of like needing to have an idea of what my journey was going to lead to. And then I would say like towards the middle and the end of the summer, I was kind of just like, I know what I'm capable of. Like I know the work that I've produced, and this thing's going to happen. Like I know it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen when I want it. But when it does happen, it's going to be a very beautiful thing. And when my brother got his job in Charlottesville, I was very happy. I was very happy just off the, 'cause I know like the whole thing with twins, like people were asking me like, oh, how do you feel about like your brother moving away and like you're still trying to figure out what you want to do next? And my whole thing was, I was very happy. I was very happy for him because I saw the amount of work that he put in over the course of time. Like I even remember like the articles he wrote back in high school. I remember your first from your blog, Anyacon's blog, back in
Oh
2015 when you wrote
yeah.
When
That's
you
funny.
you wrote an article about the US women's national team beating Netherlands in the World Cup final. I remember reading that and kind of helping you edit and making sure everything made sense. But I felt very attached to his journey, so I was very proud of him getting that moment because I saw the amount of work he put in. Even in college, having to help him with his reel, kind of just recording everything. So I was really proud, but I was at the same time, I was kind of upset because, I was with Aneah Khan like for all of my life, and this was actually going to be the first time that we weren't going to be together. I wasn't going to see him every day, and it was something we talked about, like, oh yeah, like we're not going to be together like for the rest of our lives, like we're twins, we're eventually gonna have to move on and do our own things. But just facing the reality of that was definitely challenging within the first few weeks that he wasn't there. But as kind of just leading up to the West Virginia opportunity, I interviewed for the kind of submitted my application, I'd say late, was late September. I think about a week and a half after I submitted my application. I had a phone interview, they talked about my experiences. They kind of just asked me like what I wanted and what I wanted to get out of this opportunity. And I'd say a week after that, he happened to come home, I think that first
Surprise
week
the
of
family.
October.
Yeah, no, surprise the family. Yeah, that was great.
And I remember I kind of just had the talk with him about, I was like, yeah, like I have this opportunity, like I'm going down to West Virginia to have this in-person interview. And I remember like, just telling my parents about it as well. Like they were happy and excited for me, but like kind of when he came, he kind of just told them like, not a lot of jobs like will like actually like have you come down and like interview you and kind of like see what you could potentially be facing like if you were to take the job. And I was very grateful for that opportunity because I guess I never pictured myself living in West Virginia, but when I went down for my interview, I kind of just saw like the people, like how much they cared, how much the people cared about the sports teams down here. And it felt something very unique that I didn't really get to experience here in New England, because usually you have the Patriots, you have the Red Sox, you have the Celtics, you have the Bruins. And usually it's like when one team's bad, you can kind of just move on to another team. And here it's kind of different. Like the teams might not be great, but people will go out and show out for the teams. And I think that's very marvelous because, everybody wants to be able to root for everybody wants to be able to root for a great team. But back to the interview thing. But about a week, I'd say, was it 5 days after? Actually, I remember the date exactly. It was October 11th. It was October 11th. I got a phone call from one of my bosses that I currently work with now. Kind of just offered me he offered me the job. And I remember like it was a 2-3 minute phone call conversation. He was just like, you earned this opportunity. Like everybody here was really impressed with like the interview you had. And I'm gonna give you time to talk to your family about this. And literally, I was just smiling from ear to ear when I got that phone call conversation. And literally, I remember after I got off the phone, I went upstairs to Wongo and I told him, I was like, West Virginia just offered me the job. And then after, I told my grandmother and she was very happy. And then my mom came home and I told her about the news and she literally just went on her knees crying and like begging. Like she was just like very happy because my parents saw the amount of stress and toll it took on me over those past few months, and they were very happy to see that I was able to get something. And Fast forward, say 3.5 weeks after that day, I moved down here to Morgantown, and I had a chance to watch the football team play, and then say the first Monday of November was the first day that I started working here. And that sums up my search process.
You gave us the Harry Potter version in every intricate detail.
No. I felt like, I mean, it was worth it. It was worth it. It definitely sucked at the time. But I definitely learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about the people that I had very close with, that I kind of went through this process with together. And I even learned a lot, like, don't give up on yourself. Just trust the work that you're putting in, trust like everything that you've done, and you'll eventually see the reward. You might not know when, but it'll come to fruition eventually.
Yeah, most definitely. That's like the spot I'm in right now is like, when's that going to happen, right? And we talk about the work and how long and hard the journey is and the process is, but you got to trust it at the end of the day, because the second you don't is the second that somebody else is going to start winning and getting those spots that you could have been in. And when I see like people like you guys like getting jobs and like post grad, it like inspires me. It's like, okay, like I'm sure they had a similar process and now they finally got something. So it's like, you can't lose hope. You can't get discouraged. Like obviously by human nature, you're gonna get stressed. But it's still, stay on that horse and just like, send it home, like doing everything you gotta do to make sure that you're in the right spot. If you can do as much as you possibly can, then like everything else is kind of out of your hands, which I've noticed. But you said like that's the Harry Potter version. That's how it is then. That's like reality. Like you got like that process is so long, but you look back at it and it's like, all right, I mean, it happened for everything happens for a reason. There's no regret in how long or whatever happens in that process. So, it's like I said, it's inspiring to see that. And I want to know my favorite question to ask people too. We'll go back to you, Neocon, is like that welcome to the industry moment. You've had internships, like URI's programs helped the both of you so much in like preparing for what's to come. You finally land the job, the process is over. You can finally like take a deep breath and be like, all right, I'm here. You get on the job. Like, what's that welcome to, like, this is nothing like I've ever seen before type of moment.
That's a good question. I've never been asked that. I think for me was it's one thing like seeing yourself like in like a package or like a post-game thing like that you've made for yourself, but I think that moment for me was like anchoring for like the first time, and I was just like, wow, like I'm actually like doing this, and it was like it's so awesome. And I still have like the little screen grab screenshot of like the first time I ever did, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. But yeah, for me it was a week after I started. They were like, all right, we're gonna throw you on, we're gonna have you anchor tonight. And from there it's just like, wow, like it's crazy.
Yeah, same thing for you, Nibet. Like again, we talked about how it was a little bit longer, but you get the job, you're there, you're like, this is a little different. Like those URI programs, like we said, they helped you guys prepare so much for what you guys are doing now. But like, what was something that kind of seemed different? You're like, all right, I gotta step up my game a little bit.
I would say for me it was two things. One, I was always used to working with one sport in particular. So another reason why I wanted to take this West Virginia opportunity was I felt like it was kind of cool working with multiple sports and kind of just something I had to really learn and adjust to was kind of managing the schedules of four different sports at one time. Like when I came in, it was in the midst of crossover season between fall and winter. So kind of just managing stuff with National Signing Day for all the various sports. I work with women's basketball, so I kind of had to get myself acclimated and adjusted to the content needs that the women's basketball team needed. And I also had to do some stuff with soccer as well, because they were kind of in that limbo period between their season just ending and, they were getting prepping off season content. And you know, pretty much the first day, I even remember it wasn't bad. And then straight into the second day, I was literally just working on graphics and assignments. So it wasn't something where it was just like an orientation week that you usually get when you first start a new job. It was you literally just, you know, meeting people, but at the same time, you know, getting myself acclimated and just learning the responsibilities that I needed. And even something that my boss currently told me, he was just like, you know, it's going to take you time to adjust and get acclimated to like what we're trying to do with the brand. And even now, like 5 months in, I still feel like I'm learning a lot of things about the brand, but kind of just managing not only just the quick adjustment that I was kind of just thrown into, and as well as dealing with the various sports that I was working with. Yeah, it was definitely adjustment from those two things compared to working with one sport.
Yeah, and we'll go back to you, Neocon, again. When you look at like everything as a whole, right? Like talked a lot about URI, talked a lot about how that prepared you for what you are in now, the position you guys are in now. But when you look at the first year in your profession, the first year of pursuing your dream, right? Obviously still going on, but it's been around like 8, 9 months now or so. You look back at those 8, 9 months, your most, I guess, memorable moment where you felt the most proud of how far you've came.
I think for me, this actually happened a month ago. Being able to go to Cameron Indoor, I think Cameron Indoor, anyone that knows Cameron Indoor, probably the most iconic college basketball, not even college basketball, but just basketball venue in the country. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. That place literally looks like a th cathedral. And for me, it was like so surreal being able to like be there and like see how it compared to like what I saw on television. And I think for me, what kind of made that moment much more special, besides the fact that hey, it's Cameron Indoor, I think the fact that just Kate Rogerson, huge model for me, since kind of my freshman year starting up and stuff like that. She works down in Raleigh, covers Duke, UNC, NC State, North Carolina. Shout out to her. Running into her, kind of like talking to her, and kind of like just like for me, that was like, wow, like I've come so far. And like being able to have that moment and like, you know, share that with her and like do that and do all that stuff, that for me, that was like, it was like so awesome.
And the same
By
thing for
far
me.
the best, by far the best venue, best like hands out. Love the Ryan Center. Ryan Center will always go up there, but I have to put Cameron Indoor up there.
Yeah, for sure. And anyway, the same thing. Like that moment where you're feeling the most proud of how far you've came.
I would probably say for me it's two things. One, kind of just looking back at like all the work that I've kind of just produced with West Virginia women's basketball. One, I'd say for kind of a couple reasons. One, like I played basketball. This was like my first opportunity to work with a basketball team, so I kind of took a lot of pride in kind of just telling the story of this team like graphically in like the right way, but also like kind of just seeing how the impact this team had across the state in terms of like this team was literally 4 minutes away from knocking off Caitlin Clark and Iowa in the second round of the NCAA tournament. And I'm still bummed out about that because we did have really great content for that. But you know, that's another thing about working in this industry. There's going to be a lot of stuff that you produce that won't see the light of day, but it's kind of just a good story that you can kind of just tell off to the side. And the second thing is actually creating a 50-year logo for the West Virginia's tennis team. I'm actually wearing the logo that I created right now. Actually, let me stand up so you guys can see it better. Yeah, this
Nice.
logo. I mean, this is the gold version, but just being able to create something like that, and being part of like creating something so small and something memorable that people will remember for years and years to come. And I was very proud to be able to create that for this team.
Yeah, we talk about memorable moments now. Backtracking a little bit, when you look at URI, for you guys as a whole, like not so much on your separate paths, but the time you spent there together, what do you think your most memorable URI moment is, if you could pick one? Because there's probably a ton, but for the two of you together, your most memorable URI moment.
That's an interesting question. I'm going to need a Neocon to answer that one because I need some time to think about that.
It's always the best stories.
Are you gonna steal my answer?
No.
You're like, I'm gonna need you to go first. Okay, I'm sorry.
I just need time to think, that's all.
You're older, but I'll take your commands. But I think for me, easily, I tell this people all the time, I really enjoyed covering those Tammy Reese. Everyone loves Tammy Reese. Even here in Charlottesville, I bring up Tammy Reese. People love Tammy Reese. And I think for me, covering those teams sophomore year through my senior year, where they were able to tie the program record, I forget what it is exactly, but covering those teams, those 3 years, probably perhaps my favorite memory. Those teams were so much fun to watch. Crowds were great. Just being able to, you know, kind of shed light into that, as well as kind of like experience that, not only as a student journalist kind of learning the ropes, but like just a student that like loves their university. That, for me, by far, my best memory at URI.
And same thing for you and eBay. Like you look back at everything. We talked about, again, like the what you're doing now, but you look back at your whole college journey. What's something that you take away from it?
I would say probably just having the opportunity to work with the Rhode Island football team, and definitely like not only just like seeing the work that I was getting, that I was producing on a weekly basis, while also seeing kind of just like the university-wide impact that it had, like just being able to speak with the Harrington School and just having like different opportunities to talk about my journey in particular. It kind of just opened up the opportunity for me to, you know, take pride and be able to speak about like your journey. And like, that's something till this day, like if somebody was to hit me up on social media about like, hey, like I see you doing this, like, it's something I want to do. How are you, like, how'd you get yourself into it? It's something that I take a lot of pride in, because kind of just going back to the whole job search process, there was a lot of people that I tried to talk to and kind of like, you know, sometimes you do get responses from people and sometimes you don't. And like within those situations, I kind of just always took pride in, you know, if somebody ever ask you for your help in terms of your journey and like how you got there, and like just always give them the time and just always show that, you know, you want to be able to help them, because, you know, this world, as much as we see that it's, we're just looking at ourselves internally and kind of our own struggles, there's always people that are kind of just looking at your journey and kind of like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And you're kind of setting the example for me. And I always take pride whenever I hear people say that.
Yeah, you kind of segued into my last question like perfectly. I think that was a great way to explain it. I wanted to ask you guys, for someone like me and for people that are pursuing sports media, not only at URI, but just like in general, like all over, we'll go to you and Yacon. Your best piece of advice for people seeking out and pursuing their dreams.
First off, Cam, you're well on your way, so I don't worry about you in the slightest. But I think for me, is my biggest advice would definitely be open, be a sponge, be open to try different things, be open to kind of get your hands dirty, do different things. I think for me, it helped me a lot. Like early on, like I did college, I did radio, I did newspaper, I did all that stuff, and that kind of helped me figure out like what I want to do. And you're not going to figure out what you want to do without trying different things. And I would also say, just, you know, try to put your best foot forward every day. You know, some days it'll be hard to, but I think as long as you put your best foot forward every day, people do People get that sense when you're working hard, when you're putting 100% every day, and it does reap its benefits down the line.
Anybody, anything to add to that too?
For me, I would probably say it's honestly something simple, and I feel like it's something that people often overlook. Just be a good person. Be somebody that I lost my
Bars,
train.
that's a,
Be
bars, bars right there, bars right there. No,
No, be somebody that other people want to work with. Because I feel like this world is kind of just rooted in a lot of negativity. And if you can be that person that sparks positivity, be that person that oh yeah, like I look forward to working with you every day. It kind of just gives people like a sense of something to look forward to. And that's always how I try to lead my life. I try to just be as positive as possible. Obviously, during certain circumstances, it's very hard to do that. But just always stay positive, be kind to other people. And something else I would say is know your why. Know your why. Because when moments get difficult, you can lean on that reason or those reasons to help you push through during those difficult moments.
Yeah, 1,000%. That's
And kind of going off of that, know your worth too. Like I feel like sometimes you go through different moments and like even with the job process and kind of the hiring process, like I was like a wreck. And if it wasn't for a lot of the close people in my circle who reminded me of my worth when I had no idea what it was. And shout out to them, love them so much. I'm not here without them at all. But like just knowing your worth and knowing what you're capable of, not letting anyone tell you what you're capable of. You know what you're capable of. Go out and make that happen. So yeah, that's what I would add to that.
Yeah, shout out to Old Con family. Everybody tuning in. I'm sure the whole fam's gonna be watching. It's gonna be a legendary episode in the Old Con household. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they think.
For sure. Can I quickly, can I not to toot my own horn here, but can I quickly plug myself?
For sure. But you guys
All
both.
right. So, yeah. So, if now anyone out there, I love when people reach out asking about like how I got to where I got. So, if anyone is curious, if there's something that you're curious about that I talked about here, or you kind of just want to rap, talk, kind of get through my journey, you can follow me on Instagram, Eniacon, SOCon. Same thing on Twitter. Do people still use LinkedIn?
I do. I'm on it like every day.
Yeah, I'll put my LinkedIn's my name, but I'll plug that for the older folks that are here. But yeah, so more than happy to help anyone who is getting started or who's in the process or whatever stage you are. I'm more than happy to kind of be a light, be a guidepost, be a whatever.
Anybody want to plug those socials?
My social is my first name, last name Ocon. First O is a zero, not a O, because I tried to do the whole
Because
first
you're
name,
different.
last name thing. I tried to do the whole first name, last name thing, but Instagram wasn't allowing me to do that. So, same thing on Instagram. I mean, same thing on Twitter. LinkedIn, pretty much my name. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it in terms of socials.
Yeah, I'll help definitely have that all in the descriptions. You guys can follow and keep track of their journeys for sure. I wanted to cap everything off with I've never done this with the twins that I've had on a twin rapid fire. So like we'll go back and forth. I got a few questions I think that'll be fun to answer. When you look back at growing up and everything like that. So we'll start with you and Neocon, or we'll go to Neocon and then Neobe. We'll go back and forth on your opinions of the question. But the first one. It's probably going to be a controversial one, but who do you think is the favorite twin?
Me, Dove.
Look,
Me, Dove.
big Joe.
What am I supposed
No,
to
I
say?
know.
No, like,
Plead your
oh,
case.
he's the favorite twin, right? No, I'm gonna say I'm the favorite twin.
If the family's watching, who do you think they're going to pick?
They're gonna pick me.
They're gonna pick me. They're gonna pick me.
You're gonna pick me.
All right, we're not gonna get an answer on that one. All right, we'll go back to when you guys were younger, probably like first born too. Like, how did your parents tell you apart when you were young? Even though you weren't identical, but looks identical to me. Like, it was kind of hard to tell you apart when I first met you, but how did your parents do that? If you know, I don't know.
I'm not even gonna lie. Sometimes my parents be making mistakes. Like sometimes they'll call me, they'll call my name, but they actually want to be a guy.
Why would you out mom like that?
No, I'm just being honest here. I'm just
He's
being
gonna be
honest
laughing. She's
here.
laughing watching this right now.
But honestly, I can't even answer that. I can't even answer that. That's the best way I can answer that question truthfully.
And then, what do you think the craziest question you guys have been asked as twins? Like the most like craziest thing you think of, like you guys have been asked. I don't know if there's like anything different because a lot of my friends have, again, like they said, like you can't tell them apart. They get called different names, but something crazy you guys have been asked as brothers.
I don't know if there's anything been that we've been asked that's been crazy. Like we used to get the telepathy question, or like if one person is hurt, does the other person feel it? That usual
Yeah.
nonsense. But and I don't know if Anibia has a different answer, but I can't think of anything.
No, I literally I can't think of anything besides the twin telepathy thing. No, it's usually once I tell people I'm a twin, it's like, oh my God, like it's like, can I see him? And then it's like the whole twin telepathy questions, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm used to this. Happens all the time.
And then the last one I'll ask is, have you guys ever switched places for a day and pretend to be the other one?
Yes, we have. Well,
Mm-hmm.
not for a day, but not for a day. And I'm gonna be truthful. I'm not gonna lie about the how this started. So I think it was our senior year of high school. We were both on the same floor. We both had classes like a few doors down from each other. And before the period, my brother was like, "Yo, like, let's switch places for the period." And I was just like, oh, "I don't know, I don't know. Like, I feel like we're gonna get in trouble for this." But literally, his class, I think my class, we were having like a class discussion, and his class was literally just watching a movie. And I remember he was just like, "All you have to do is don't look at anybody, and just don't say anything." And I even remember just sitting there, and I was just like, hearing people were just like, "Oh, that's not a neocon, that's not a neocon," and I wasn't trying to say anything. And then, fortunately for me, I think we were able to make it through the entire class period without anything happening. But I'll let Neocon tell his side of the story.
It was literally a no risk situation. Like you were sitting in a dark watching a movie. You don't even have to like you could have slept for like that 45 minutes or so. But yeah, there was nothing on the table. But for me, I literally had that class the next period. So it's like that discussion y'all was having, I could have gone in and like been full part of that conversation because like I had the class the next period. I knew what book we were reading, so I was like, this is gonna work, and I'm glad it did.
That's
I
pretty
feel like,
cool.
but I feel like you're miss. I feel like you're not adding one of the most important parts of that story, where
And what is
literally, I think
and what is that?
one of our school administrators came into the class.
Oh, I wasn't worried about that. There
Okay.
was because
They were just.
they were just gonna get a laugh out of it. What is it? It was April at that point. We had 2 months left in senior year. What was gonna happen? We had never gotten in trouble. We had never gotten in any trouble. We're the good kids on the basketball team.
Yeah,
So
that.
I wasn't worried at all.
I don't think my friends have ever done that because, like, one of the like they've their face looks the same, but like they'll have like one's got like a beard, one's got like longer hair than the other, so it's like you can always tell them apart from like one little like thing. Like, you guys, when I like again, like I said, when I first met you, I was like, I was confused like all the time. But, you know, once you get to know like how you guys sound, how you talk, and everything, it's a little, you know, obviously it's different, but that's why your classmates were doing that. But that's all I got for you guys. I'm happy you guys were able to join. $1 million question. I've been asking this a lot, but what do you guys think of Camp's Corner now that you guys have both joined at the same time?
Dude, I've been on it twice, so I think highly of it. So I think that says enough.
Me, I think highly of the show, honestly. It's nice being on the other side of it, like listening to so many episodes and then finally just getting the opportunity to actually be on it. Although I kind of wish, but it's not, it's out of situation out of my own control. Just, I wish I was in the studio doing this, but you know, just happy to be on this.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys for all the support. You guys are always running up all the reels and you know, always give me my flowers. So I always want to like, you know, thank you guys for that one. And anytime you guys are around in person in Rhode Island, I'd love to do something again in person. It's always a good time talking with you guys. And everybody in the description, run up Anibe and Aniacon socials. Make sure to keep up with them and their job journey in the sports media field. Episode 97 to Cam's Corner, 3 more to 100 at Cam's One Corner on all social media platforms. And we'll see you guys in the next episode of Cam's Corner.